Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Hearst Ranch. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of the free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that is as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to HearstRanch.com. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring sustainability, local foods, and other forward-thinking schools of culinary thought to the minds and kitchens of everyday folks. Our conversations cover the entire spectrum of food enthusiasts, from renowned culinary masters to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking markets in New York City and the Hot Five with Black Tie Barbecue. If you have any questions about markets in New York City, remember our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. New Yorkers live for spring and summer. Free music, picnics in the park, and cruising all the markets. In the studio, we have Karen Seeger, author of Markets of New York City, A Guide to the Best Artisan, Farmer, Food, and Flea Markets. Karen, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
We must talk first the history of New York City markets. I am from Georgia, and I moved to New York City, but all the markets seem like they've been here forever. What is the overall history of markets in New York City?
Well, I mean, New York is the center of all kinds of markets, whether they're financial markets or commodities markets, you name it. In fact, in the 1600s, Peter Stuyvesant, who was the governor of New York, well, New York State, or I guess it wasn't a state then, but the colony, started the very first market downtown, and it was a place where people went and exchanged everything from foods to merchandise, and he also started an annual cattle market. So there is a long history of markets in New York City, from merchandise, handmade things, to foods and fresh produce.
So your book, you break down neighborhoods and markets. And I think every neighborhood has this distinctive feel, from Queens, you think ethnic food, to Brooklyn, to the city. Talk more about the very unique neighborhoods in New York City and some of the markets that are there.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting because the markets are very important to the neighborhoods that they serve. You know, the Green Markets Organization or Grow NYC, and some of the other farmers markets organizations are very careful to provide the foods that people in the neighborhoods want. But for you and me as a consumer, I go to my market in Abingdon Square every weekend, and I love it. And
what part of the city is that? Is that Lower Manhattan?
Yes, it's in Greenwich Village, the Far West Village.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
yeah. Cool. But you know, doing my research all over the city, I found that each neighborhood has a market that reflects that neighborhood. So when I went up to 175th Street in Washington Heights, I found hugest piles of cilantro I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And onions. And up in Poe Park in the Bronx.
Yeah.
I was talking to a farmer from Rotary Max is the farm, and my face started to burn and my eyes started to water. And I thought maybe I was having some kind of an attack, but I wasn't. I was standing over his hot peppers.
Oh,
he
wow.
has over 20 different kinds of peppers to serve the Caribbean and Latin American community up there.
Neato. So we're saying markets, but some people may be listening and thinking that we're only talking about food markets. You define a few different markets in your book, and those markets are...
Well, the overall theme is buying directly from the person who grew, cultivated, made, cooked, or found an object. So if you go to an artisan market, you can buy the most wonderful bath and beauty products or soaps or earrings or jewelry or clothing. I mean, those handmade products are a part of my daily life because the quality is so great and I know what their ingredients are and I want to support these local artisans. If you go to the flea markets, you can also find old treasures, new treasures, things that you could really not find in stores. And then you have the green markets, farmers markets, which is where a lot of the fresh food is, although they do have other things like jams and cheeses and butchers, beautiful grass-fed meats, the things we're all reading about, you can actually find them at all the green markets. And then you have the what I call the food markets, which is markets where you go to find food purveyors, like the Grand Central Market or the Moore Street Market right here in Williamsburg, or the New Amsterdam Market under the...
You're naming all my favorites.
Mine too.
So who, I mean, we both live in New York City. Of course, both of us, we go to markets. But I was reading recently about two celebrities. Well, I actually saw that Martha Stewart was at... Last summer, she was at Brooklyn Flea, and Andy Spade, who his wife starred, Kate Spade, he basically, in an article, talked about how that's how they started. They got inspiration for their business by going to markets. So who's going to markets? Is it for tourists, celebrities, locals?
Oh, you name it. Markets are for everybody. Primarily, and this is the real key to market success, is serving their local communities. So in certain neighborhoods, it's the families, it's the people that are coming back every weekend that support the farmers and really benefit the most. But I have met more tourists coming through the markets, especially big ones like Union Square, where people naturally, the crossroads of tourism and markets actually are. And then celebrities, well, they live all over New York City. There's a ton right here in Brooklyn. My neighborhood is full of celebrities. I mean, it's New York. Everybody's a celebrity.
Right.
Do I know you?
Yes. And I know Bernadette Peters is a big fan of the Green Flea. I haven't met her yet, but she seems to be a big supporter there. And even Catherine Zeta-Jones has been seen there. So you never know. And then all the big chefs go to Union Square.
Right, definitely. I've definitely seen quite a few chefs when I'm at Union Square Market. So what are some of the lessons and the do's or don'ts when we're attending markets?
Oh, you know, I wrote my list.
We love lists.
My list of do's is do bring a tote bag, because you don't want to be bringing home 1,000 plastic bags and then throwing them in the landfill. And there's a million tote bags out there for you to, handmade and hand-printed at the artisan markets, frankly. Do ask a lot of questions. Ask the farmers what's fresh. Ask them what's coming up. Ask them if they have recipes. And then do share your own recipes, and definitely do try samples. You'll find fresh apples or honeys or jams, or even they even have wine tastings at the market. And don'ts, I have two. Don't be rude or impatient. This is a market. This is the crossroads of communities.
Yeah, I've seen that before. It's kind of crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's pointless anyway. And then my other don't is don't be afraid to try something new. I just tried my very first Jerusalem artichoke.
Ooh.
And I need some help, so I'm going to ask for a new recipe next time. They were good, but I don't know what I'm doing with them yet. So I'll be back to you about that.
If you're listening, you have a recipe, call us. That was great. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back because we have lots more to talk about markets in New York City. Stay tuned. More with Karen Singer. Thank you. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Extraordinary experiences in markets all around the world, from Mexico, Paris, Rio, and even Columbus, Ohio, inspired Karen's book or guidebook to New York City markets. We're taking a sneak peek into the book about the best markets in the Big Apple. So your inspiration, I was reading on your website, your bio, how you were living or working in American Express and traveling, and you were visiting all the markets and you came up with this great idea. Tell us about some of the markets around the world.
Oh, I grew up in the markets. I grew up in the Midwest, and we would take drives to the farm stands, and we'd go to the market at the Arboretum in Dayton every weekend. And then my mother's from South America, so we'd go to South America at some point every year. Mm-hmm. My strongest memories are of the Merced Market in Mexico City,
which
is enormous. Mm-hmm. And there's a butcher section and a gift section and foods. It's like a metropolis of markets. So wherever I go, I find that the markets are the best place to get instant entree into a country and a culture, because it's people are inviting you to talk to them and ask them questions and tell you about what's at the market. So it's kind of a quick way to enter and understand what a place is really all about.
So we're all about food culture and food markets here at Hot Grease. Let's talk about all these food markets and this food that's going on in Brooklyn and beyond. What do you see? Something's happening that's very exciting around food and food markets.
There is definitely an upswelling of a focus on food, like real food.
Right.
I always, when I see people and read about things online about obesity in this country, it's like feed and not food. You know, people don't understand or don't even stop to think about what they're putting into their bodies. But now it seems like people are. And one of the most admirable things I found in my research is with the green markets, mm-hmm. Grow NYC is the importance on bringing nutrition to everybody. It's not just for, you know, fancy people with fancy markets in Union Square. I mean, these markets are serving the communities that need them, and they're providing delicious food and nutrition to children all over the city, no matter where you are, what your socioeconomic level background is. And to me, that is visionary and admirable and revolutionary in this country.
Totally, totally. Some of the markets, the food markets that you highlight in the book, like Chelsea Market, I haven't been there in like definitely about 6 months to a year, but I met Lucy of Lucy Way last Wednesday, at Heritage Radio Network's 1 year anniversary party. She was there. And the People's Pop.
Ugh, the People's
is at Chelsea Market now.
Brilliant.
This is just, again, another market that's filling up with food.
Well, there are such innovation. And one of the things that I'm seeing is this sort of process in New York City. There are creative people who are interested and talented in the area of food and nutrition and cooking. And so I have found this little sort of pathway. And I'm still tracing the steps, but there's something called the Greenpoint Food Market, which is where little people in little kitchens, not little people, but wonderful people in small kitchens are testing their products. And then you have something like the Brooklyn Flea, which really has set the bar so high for food. In fact, I went there for my birthday this year, and I had lobster rolls and pupusas and fish tacos and mini cupcakes and salt caramels. It was incredible. And so from there, you know, these are the companies like the incredible people at People's Pops who come up with something that's delicious and fun and nutritious, and it has a direct, because they buy their ingredients from the local farmers market, so it's fresh, and it's a snack food that everybody can be happy with.
Speaking of fresh, in markets in New York City and beyond, what are some of your key things that the folks need to do to keep the market fresh and new? Because I live in Brooklyn. I go to the Brooklyn Flea, and sometimes I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just go to Greenpoint this time. What are some things that you think folks should be doing to keep it fresh and new?
Well, I think that the markets, if it depends on how often you go. I mean, if you're like me, you know everybody all the time in every market.
Right.
But if you are someone that goes occasionally, there's always going to be something new. And I think there's a sweet spot in there. But some of the things that the markets do is the vendors go to different markets. So right. You might see them one place or another. Or they'll bring in new kinds of foods. And they also have events, and they'll do food tastings or nutrition seminars right there on the street. Some of them, a lot of them have these cooking demos in English and Spanish, depending on what neighborhood they're in. So I think that the markets are always looking for ways to keep their energy vibrant and different and exciting for everybody, whether you come every week or whether you come, you know, once.
Yeah, you made me think about Greenpoint Market. I went to one like there once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I went a few months ago, and they had this performer there. And he was hilarious. I had video of him, and he was like doing these cover songs, but like an R. Kelly song, and he was like slowing it down. It was absolutely hilarious. For like 30 minutes, I just watched him perform. So that's one of the cool things about Greenpoint Market, is that beyond the food, there's usually someone there entertaining folks.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the markets have entertainers, and they're local musicians. There's a guy that plays the accordion with a Boba Fett mask on from Star Wars. And I was so excited because Time Out New York revealed his identity
a few months
back. But I see him, you know, at Union Square. I see him under the High Line. And there's like fantastic blues bands at the Grand Army Plaza sometimes, or a guitar player in McCarran Park. So, yeah, there's always some kind of an entertainment thing.
It's funny that you talked about the High Line. I'm thinking of the High Line, and I know that Summer Stage, which is a free concert that's in Central Park, I think the folks that started Brooklyn Flea will be curating the food at Summer Stage at Central Park. And I hear something about High Line is supposed to be doing something around food and whatever.
I am so excited about the Summer Stage. I think it's a fantastic extension of the Brooklyn Flea, because it's some of the most innovative food in the world right now.
Right.
And the other thing, I'm not sure, I don't know what the High Line is doing for food, but I do know that they are a wonderful destination for the food trucks.
True.
I mean, I am in love with the Big Gay ice cream truck. I can't resist them every time I see them. There's the Cinnamon Snail out of New Jersey. There's organic food and cookies and snacks and anything you can imagine. Oh, the Waffle and Dingus truck.
Oh, yeah.
The Belgians.
I love them. Yeah.
Yes, they're hysterical and delicious and fresh and
innovative. We have
innovative.
To give a title for all these like food vendors that are popping up at parks and destination spots. I don't know. Should we call them market? We haven't got to give them a name. It's kind of market-ish culture, the same culture to bring people together in a spot.
It's like good food on wheels or something.
yes. So your best market finds.
My best market finds. In the food markets.
Food and, you know, beyond food.
Well, for food, I have to say it's the egg. The fresh egg. I had no idea. I figure an egg is an egg is an egg. But you get these fresh eggs first thing in the morning from the farm. It's unbelievable. You have to try it.
Yeah.
And then one thing I discovered at the Brooklyn Lyceum Food and Craft Market was ramp butter.
Oh, yeah.
These Nikki and her friend were hiking up in Vermont and harvested 40 pounds of wild ramps and made it into butter. And I think I just used my last inch of it last night on a chicken. But then there's something called bacon marmalade.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. They have been getting tons of buzz. Yes, well, I haven't had it yet. Is it really good?
I love it. It's you know, it made me a little concerned to try, but I made hot biscuits, mm-hmm. and we spread it on. It's brunch in a jar. It's so great. And they're really nice people. And, you know, in terms of other finds at the food and at the flea markets and artisan markets, probably they're not fantastic and huge. They are subtle changes in the way I live. And I referred to some of the soap. So I don't think I ever need to buy a bar of soap anywhere but the markets, because the quality is so good. Things like Meow Meow Tweet make vegan soaps. There's somebody who, the company is Off the Mat,
mm-hmm.
and she makes yoga-inspired soaps. And I just discovered Metropolitan, which makes sort of soaps with a Pulp Fiction theme, believe
it or
not.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful, subtle changes in the way I live my daily life. Not to mention every last shirt I own and every pair of earrings I get at the markets. Totally. I have my eye on a pair of sandals. Keep an eye out.
So your book, it's out. People can get it. I went to my local bookstore, Greenlight Books, and they had several copies in their New York section. I was like, she's going to be on the show. So folks can go to their local bookstores. What other ways can folks get it?
Yeah, I mean, it's at all the local bookstores around the country. It's at Barnes & Noble, all the big shops. It's going to be in Anthropology across the country.
Oh, cool.
I'm super excited about the local bookstores. It's at Idlewild. It's at Posman Books. Posman hosted our book launch party, which was wonderful.
And you have a blog to accompany the book?
I do. I just couldn't stop writing about markets. So I started a blog called marketsofnewyork.com. And it covers everything about the markets, from individuals to events to, you know, products and trends. And I do book reviews and you name it. If it has to do with the market, I'm on it.
Cool. Karen, thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease. If you are listening and you live in New York City, pick up a copy. It's worth it. If you're visiting New York and you're listening from other places in the country, go pick it up. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you so much.
Soon. We're going to take a short break and come back with the Hot Five.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the norm. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the Alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme. And put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park. A place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise. Honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is being sponsored by Hearst Ranch. For more information on Hearst Ranch, go to HearstRanch.com. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Our favorite segment here on Hot Grease, the Hot Five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. Today, we have the Memorial Day unofficial start of summer Hot Five with Black Tie Barbecue. Spencer, welcome.
Hey, how are you, Nicole?
Welcome to Hot Grease. So you're going to hit us with the five tips for grilling on Memorial Day. Let's hear number five.
So number five is patience is the key.
Ah.
To starting a good fire. And a good fire is the key to a great barbecue.
Oh, okay. So patience and fire. All right. So number four on the Hot Five list.
One of the benefits of outdoor grilling is the smoke flavor. Be sure to soak some wood chunks and add them to your hot coals for a unique flavor.
So, you know, we're talking about fire and patience. Barbecuing can be such a sexist cooking technique. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. So women can have patience and we can actually do this.
Actually, I think that barbecue is so easy that a caveman could do it.
Ah, okay. Okay, so all the people that are listening and are clueless, you're giving us the thing. So number three on the hot five with 1/4 of black tie barbecue.
Season your meat so that sauce is optional. One good thing about barbecue is the taste of the meat. If you're going to go through the trouble of grilling, you need to make sure that your meat tastes good. We recommend seasoning salt, garlic, onion, olive oil, butter, or any flavoring or seasoning that you think is good. But the key is to season your meat in a way that you don't need the sauce. Because, I mean, you could put sauce on meat that you cooked in the oven or even meat that you cooked on the George Foreman grill.
Ah, George Foreman grill. Ah, I'd rather have regular good old barbecue. Okay, number two on the Hot Five Memorial Day edition.
Use tongs instead of a fork, because when you use forks, you sometimes pierce the juices out of your meat.
Ah, so Spencer, what do you say to all these folks that are visiting Atlanta or coming to Atlanta or live in Atlanta that are listening to the show that don't grill at all? How can we get some black tie barbecue?
So we're located at 486 Decatur Street. It's at the intersection of Decatur Street and Boulevard. And starting mid-June, we're going to be open for a lunch service and also dinner service on Friday nights.
And I think I read on your Facebook or Twitter that you are going to be doing a festival with, we were just talking about popsicles, people making pops here.
The King of Pops. We're gonna be working with the King of Pops.
Okay, at what festival?
We're going to be at the Atlanta Jazz Festival this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. And then on June 5th and 6th, we're going to be at the Virginia Highlands Festival.
Cool, all my Atlanta listeners. So, number one, I think we are on number one on the Hot Five Memorial Day edition. What do we have, number one?
My number one thing is don't be afraid, because the worst thing you can do is burn the meat.
Huh, funny. So what can we do with burned meat? Do we just throw that in the garbage?
We throw that away and start over, but we can learn from burned meat. That's what we can do.
So, Spencer, for folks who want to know more about Black Tie Barbecue, not only do you guys do barbecue, you're a full-service catering company. Please give our folks your website and your Twitter handle.
So we are at www.black-tie-barbecue, spelled BARBECUE.com. And on Twitter, we are at BlackTieBBQ.
Cool. Thank you so much for the five tips on having the perfect barbecue. Very simple things and man or woman can use to have the great Memorial Day barbecue. Thanks, Spence. You have to come back on the show soon to talk maybe some recipes.
We'll definitely come back and talk recipes.
Have a great Memorial Day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Listeners, I will be off next Monday, Memorial Day. Maybe I'll do a little barbecuing. But you can still probably catch a past episode of Hot Grease. Otherwise, check me out every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
I'm everyday people. Yeah, yeah.